Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 15, the Yoga of the Supreme Person, text number 5. Nirmana moha jita sangadosha adhyatma nitya vinivritta kama vanvairi mukta sukaduka sangar kachant yamuda padam avyam tat. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Those who are free from false prestige, illusion, and false association, who understand the eternal, who are done with material lust, who are free from the dualities of happiness and distress, and who unbewildered know how to surrender unto the Supreme Person, attain to that eternal kingdom. Purport. The surrendering process is described here very nicely. The first qualification is that one should not be deluded by pride. Because the conditioned soul is puffed up, thinking himself the Lord of material nature, it is very difficult for him to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should know by cultivation of real knowledge that he is not Lord of material nature. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Lord. When one is free from delusion caused by pride, he can begin the process of surrender. For one who is always expecting some honor in this material world, it is not possible to surrender to the Supreme Person. Pride is due to illusion, for although one comes here, stays for a brief time, and then goes away, he has a foolish notion that he is the Lord of the world. He thus makes all things complicated, and he is always in trouble. The whole world moves under this impression. People are considering the land, this earth, belong to human society, and they have divided the land under the false impression that they are the proprietors. One has to get out of this false notion that human society is the proprietor of this world. When one is free from such a false notion, he becomes free from all the false association caused by familial, social, and national affections. These faulty associations bind one to this material world. After this stage, one has to develop spiritual knowledge. One has to cultivate knowledge of what is actually his own and what is actually not his own. And when one has an understanding of things as they are, he becomes free from all dual conceptions, such as happiness and distress, pleasure and pain. Becomes full of knowledge, then it is possible for him to surrender the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So text 5 again. Nirmana moha jita sangadosha adhyatma nitya vinivritta kama vanvairi mukta sukaduka sangar kachantya muda padam avyam tat. Those who are free from false prestige, illusion, and false association, who understand the eternal, and who are done with material lust, who are freed from the dualities of happiness and distress, and who unbewildered know how to surrender unto the Supreme Person, attain to that eternal kingdom. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasatundeve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shnivadi Paskatya De Siddharane. The beginning of this chapter, Krishna said, Ordvamala Dakshakam Ashvatam Prahur Avyam Shadamsyasya Parnani Yasvam Veda Savedavit, that there is an imperishable banyan tree which has its roots upward and its branches are going downward, and the Vedic hymns are its leaves. The one who knows this tree is said to be the knower of the Vedas. In other words, presently, we're in a world where everything is upside down. Here in this world, everyone is identifying themselves with their gross and subtle material bodies. And therefore, instead of understanding and engaging ourselves in our original relation with Krishna, we become just the opposite of being Krishna's servants. We become Krishna's competitor, as it says, Vayam dvitiya niveshitasya ishadavatasya vipario smriti. That as soon as one thinks himself to be a competitor to God, and of course, we may not think ourselves a big competitor, we're just trying to become a little competitor at first, starting out small. We may not trying to lord it over a whole universe like Lord Brahma, we're just trying for a house, few kids, a dog, and a car. And then with a little practice, we may get two cars, a few more kids, and a bigger house. And gradually we learn to become the Lord. But whether one is Lord Brahma, ruling over an entire universe, thinking himself that this is my universe, or one is a householder, thinking himself that this is my house, or one is a mouse in the house, in a little hole in the wall, the same mentality is there. And what is the harm, one may think, to play that we're the lords of the material energy? What's the problem? The problem is that due to this idea and this attachment to the idea, we're forced to identify ourselves with the body. Of course, we all love our bodies, and therefore we think that, fortunately, I have a nice body to misidentify myself with. But actually, if we examine the body, it does have a few problems. Of course, we may not think there are very big problems at first, but as we get older, then as we get older, the problems get bigger. Of course, nowadays you don't have to be very old to have big problems. Everyone thinks they have big problems. Even if their problems are little, they think they're very big because they're my problems. And anything that I have must be big and important. One time one devotee came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I'm very insignificant, but I have some big problems. So Prabhupada said, how can someone insignificant have a big problem? But anyhow, we think our problems are very important. And there are problems, namely old age, which we may not be facing now. But then there is disease everyone experiences. And eventually, we have to leave this body called death. And then, although we may not be afraid or concerned about it, we have to take birth again. There are many living entities who are fearless about death, and now they've taken birth as trees and grasshoppers and other types of living entities. Although they thought that that was not possible, because they had given a donation to the temple. As the old story goes, one man was thought that if I give a donation to the temple, then there is no doubt that I must go to heaven. That's what the people tell me. So he went to the priest and he gave him $5 and asked for a receipt. So generally, for $5, the priest doesn't give a receipt, but this time the man demanded it. Although he was a very miserly person, never did a good deed in his life, his only good thing he ever gave was to give $5 to the priest. After leaving his body, he was so attached, he was able to take the receipt with him. As he was being judged at the heavenly gates, Peter looked at his book and said, you must go to hell. Said, no, that's not possible. I gave a donation and I have a receipt to prove it. So there was a big argument and the line of judgment was being held up. So God was wondering what's going on. So he went to Peter and said, Peter, what's going on? Why is the holdup? What's wrong with this man? He said, well, this man has never done a good deed in his life. The only thing he ever did was give $5 to the priest. And now he's saying he must go to heaven, but he's supposed to go to hell. So God took Peter off to the side, took out his wallet, and gave him $5 and said, give him back the $5 and tell him to go to hell. So people may think that actually I'm a good person, whatever I do was good, and therefore my future is bright. But unfortunately, that's not how the laws of karma work. And there are many persons who can't speak presently, but although they were convinced of a bright future, their future was less than bright in one of the other species of life. In any case, the law of karma works. The law of material nature works in such a way that the more we try to become God, the more we become like a dog. Because people like dogs nowadays, so they don't mind. As Prabhupada one time, he was at a university lecturing, and he said the same thing I'm saying, that if you act like a dog, you'll become a dog. So at the end of the lecture, one student raised her hand and said, Swamiji, you say that if I act like a dog, I'm going to become a dog. But I must tell you that I don't mind if I become a dog. I want to become a dog. So Prabhupada raised his hand and said, you have my blessings. That's the laws of material nature. The more we try to control the material energy and enjoy it, the more we become entangled in this identification with the body. But actually, human form of life is meant to free ourselves from our misconception of being a material body or a material mind, and ultimately identifying ourselves with Krishna. Because as when we become conscious of Krishna, Krishna is the source of all bliss, all pleasure. He's the source of all loving feelings. He's the source of all awareness eternally. But this body that we're in has only limited happiness we can experience from it. And there is misery also that accompanies that happiness. And there's only a limited amount of awareness we can have reality. The more we identify with ourselves with this body, the less we realize we're actually eternal souls. Now, someone may think that that's your theory, that you're an eternal soul. But Krishna has explained in Bhagavad Gita that we can understand the difference between the body and the self by seeing how the body is always changing. All of us can. We've had so many bodies, and this body that we're in now is only one of many, many bodies we've been in. And that ultimately this body will also change, but we ourselves, the person who's aware of the changing bodies, we're always the same. Now, what body we're going to get next is not simply an accident. It'll be determined, partially at least, I mean, the immediate bodies we may get may be as a result of our previous karma, but our future bodies will be determined by how we utilize this present body and what our present conception is. So we continue to think we're the lord of material nature and that the material things that I have, that they're meant for my happiness or the happiness of persons who are related to my body, then the result is we'll be forced to take another body. But there's an alternative. We can identify ourselves as Krishna's servants and identify this whole material energy, all the material energy, with the living entities within it as belonging to Krishna, and therefore have a determination to utilize the same energy in Krishna's service. The result is that we get free from what's said, our illusion, and this false prestige. We may think ourselves to be, you know, in a very nice position, full of all kinds of opulence, such as beauty, or wealth, or fame, or knowledge, or renunciation. But this identification with these things, and thinking I'm going to enjoy them, this is the obstacle to our self-realization. As Queen Kunti says, Janmaishvarya Shruti Shri Bira Edamanak Madak Puman Gotra, that anyone who thinks that I have janma, I have a very nice birth. Nowadays, nice birth used to be be born in America. Because if you're in America, I was at the 4th of July parade in Ojai, California, and people still believe that being born in America is better than Vaikuntha. Because obviously they don't wave their flag for their Vaikuntha flag. They wave their American flag. So they think I've taken birth in America and therefore my life is perfect. The only thing better than taking birth in America is to take birth in Dallas, Texas. And of course, out of all Dallas, Texas, to be in Gurley Street that's the most sacred place. That even the demigods wish they could take birth here. And Aishwarya, we have wealth, we have all these paper dollars, and we print up more and more of them. Nowadays, if you had your own printing press, they'd arrest you. But there are people in America, they do have their own printing press, and they print up as many dollars as they want, and they give it to everyone else, and they believe it's actually money. It's actually wealth. Shruta, and people think they have knowledge. You can go on the internet and spend lifetimes searching the internet with all this information they have. Although it's all wrong, still they have a lot of it. And Sri Bir, everyone wants to become beautiful. It says that in America, without putting on the ladies, I think, 20 different things in the morning, and men 9 now, they won't go out and face the world. Because they have to be beautiful. Everyone has to think they're beautiful. Even when they're 120, they have to look like they're 25. So these are things that everyone thinks is opulence and wealth. This is what everyone is striving for. But as we strive for these temporary things, then we forget, actually, these things are meant for Krishna's service. If we want to enjoy them ourselves, then we'll be forced to identify ourselves with somebody and suffer and enjoy the results of our karma. Now we may be in a very nice body and not so nice body, but more or less the taste, the sense gratification is the same. If you drink water from a gold pot or an iron pot, the water is the same, although the pots may differ. So we may think, I'm going to enjoy this present body, but ultimately we won't actually become happy. Just like if one goes fishing and he takes his rod and his reel and his bait with him and he throws it into the water and all the fish are fighting to get the bait. And one big macho fish knocks all the other fish out of the way and gets the bait. But then he also gets hooked. And the fisherman reels him up and cuts his insides open, throws him out, puts him on a frying pan, and he gets fried. So the fish thought, I'm going to enjoy, but ultimately he gets fried. So similarly in the material world, everyone is hoping to utilize their present opulence to enjoy, but ultimately everyone winds up fried. Therefore, the conclusion is that if we accept our position as souls, at least, and then accept that the purpose of life is not simply to fulfill the demands of our senses, but to actually reestablish our relationship with Krishna, who is beyond our conception, how much happiness, love, awareness we can achieve by becoming conscious of him, that if we make that determination, then gradually our false prestige will be given up. We'll see that everyone, every soul, although they may be in different bodies, every soul is the same. Every soul has the potential to reestablish their relation with Krishna, whatever body they may be in. And that's actually what makes the soul valuable. That's actually the wealth of the soul, is their relation with Krishna. Although they may be situated in different bodies with different potentials for sense gratification, But ultimately, sense gratification winds up in the same place, namely nowhere. Just like in a race, you may be determined, I'm going to win the Olympics, whenever the Olympics are. So somehow or another, they put you on the Olympic playing field to run the 20-kilometer race or 20-mile race. So you want to come in first. So as soon as you hear the gun, you run as fast as you can. So of course, everyone else is going to run 20 miles, so they don't go full speed all at once. But you go full speed at once. So they report on the internet, on the radio, on the television, Bakhtin or Bakhtin so-and-so is now in first place during the race, the Olympic race, and everyone's cheering. And you run 20 yards and you fall down unconscious. And you come in last. Or eventually you just, kind of walk. But anyhow, you get up 2 days later and walk out the rest of the race. So you were in first place, you were thinking, I'm in first place, I'm winning. But ultimately you wind up in the same, you wind up last. So everyone winds up in the same place in this material world. Ultimately, we may be apparently winning at the beginning, but ultimately at the end, we all wind up dead last. Therefore, rather than spending our energy trying to become first in the material world so that eventually we can become better than Krishna, better to give up this idea while we have the opportunity of a human form of life and try to utilize the same energies we have now and utilize them in Krishna's service. And the result is that this idea of that my body, my mind, my intelligence is something very special beyond everyone else, and that my country, my society, my friends, they're all very special, that these things will be seen as simply products of illusion. Every soul is equally special because every soul can serve Krishna. And therefore, if we serve Krishna like that, our false prestige will go away, and therefore, we should not be attached to it. Our false conceptions, our false associations, our false ideas, we should try to give them up, instead become enthusiastic and happy in service to Krishna, then all these things will be realized. So in this age, if we want to realize that, then we can chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And the more we actually want to engage in Krishna's service, then the more, Krishna will reveal himself simply through the chanting. Of course, that will take some practice, but if we don't know how we're going to develop this desire to engage in Krishna's service, then at least we should chant Hare Krishna and try to listen. Because if we just try and listen, then many of these false conceptions will gradually become unattached to, just by the process of trying to pay attention. And we'll notice there is a number of them. It's not that it's going to be, 2 days from now I'll be in Vaikuntha. But if we just try and listen and try to pay attention, then gradually one or two of false prestige, a false association, false ideas will go away, and gradually we'll actually obtain to our original state of consciousness again. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Yes, I mind. I'll never answer that question. I'm insulted. Now I think we might try to answer the question. Well, because Krishna happens to be God, he has some special qualities. Like, for instance, he's non-different from his name. So as soon as we chant Hare Krishna, then Krishna is present. The question is where we are. Krishna may be here, but our minds may be somewhere else. But if we try to bring our minds back to Krishna, then the result is we'll notice that Krishna is present. And just like if you put an iron into the fire, the iron gets hotter and hotter and hotter, and then gradually becomes like fire. So when we put our consciousness in Krishna and become aware of him, gradually our consciousness becomes Krishnaized. And then we become just like Krishna, at least in the quality of spiritual existence, we become spiritualized. So everything's there when we chant Hare Krishna, and if we learn how to be present, then we'll notice that Krishna is there. Is that all right? Anything else? Yes.
What is the best way to encourage someone in Krishna consciousness?
Give them some, it depends who they are.
Yeah, what if they know the philosophy, they know about Krishna, and...
Well, then they should give class. They already know. They think they know the philosophy.
Right, right.
They think, well, give, I don't know, I guess encourage, if they think they know the philosophy, why should they have to be encouraged? If they know the philosophy, they should be self-encouraged. They actually know the philosophy. If they think they know the philosophy, then, give them some, chant Hare Krishna, give them some prasadam, give them some service to do. So if they know the philosophy, they'll do that service with great enthusiasm, conviction, and patience, and they'll realize Krishna. It's by realizing Krishna that we actually become encouraged. So that is the philosophy, how to become conscious of Krishna. So if you engage them in devotional service, then they'll become encouraged.